Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor and my pleasure to guide you along this show tonight. I get so excited every Tuesday, because I have the world's best guests that agree to appear on my show and to share with you their passion, their expertise. And so tonight you're in for a treat, so buckle up and get ready. But before we get to our incredible guests, there's a couple of things that we do here on the show first. The first thing that we do is we give thanks to our ancestors. Our ancestors are there for us upon our call, and they're waiting for us to be in a place of receptivity to their guidance and what they can do to help us from the other side. Sometimes the other side, there's less, I believe, less restrictions, and they get to help us a lot quicker and a lot faster. So call upon your ancestors. So on Tuesdays, because we sometimes go out the box on what we discuss, I know the ancestors are holding up this show, and they're the strength behind this show. We have a new ancestor that I'd like to add to the mix tonight as he makes his way to the other side. Mr. Bob Moore, a childhood friend of mine, has made his transition. And so, Bob, we wish you well as you transcend to your next spot. We love you, ancestors. We love you today. We love you forever and ever and ever. Ashe. Next thing we do is we anchor ourselves in affirmative reading so that we get to exhale and let some of that go from out of our systems, right? And so I write a daily inspirational message, and it can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. And I'm going to read you just a small portion of one of my daily posts, and it's called Excellence of Humanity. Where did we lose our way? Is the supreme gift of free will the culprit? Can we recapture this excellence that God has bestowed us with? When will we do it? The universe is under our supervision, and so it will be up to us to restore the excellence of humanity. How can you help? Can you start where you are? Can you restore peace and harmony in your family? Can you stand for justice regardless to who the audience is? Can you make a positive difference? The restoration of the excellence of humanity is up to each of us. It is not the responsibility of someone else or some governmental group of folks. It is the responsibility of you and me. I give thanks for all who have willingly shown they are committed to leaving a better world for all to inhabit. I give thanks to God for gifting the universe with individuals who are vessels of truth and a light in the darkness. Keep insisting that we can and we will. I clearly see the manifested evidence of the restoration of humanity. And again, that's a small portion of the daily inspirational message that can be found at RevSandy.wordpress.com. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. So tonight's show is entitled, Our Cultural Beliefs. Are our cultural beliefs truly ours? And I have the distinct honor of presenting to some and introducing a sister friend of mine who is just absolutely fabulous. Dee Olivia Jones is our speaker for this evening. And like I said, hold tight, man. She's a tough sister. And I'm so privileged that she has chosen to be with us tonight. But audience, there's just a couple of things I'd like to share with you. You're always invited to join the discussion. All comments are welcome, and our intention is that every voice is heard that choose to be heard. If you would like to have a say on the show, you would call in at our number 516-531-9819 and just press 1 on your dial. That would alert us you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, just hold on and be enriched by the conversation tonight. Once I open your line and you say what you have to say, I'm not going to disconnect you. So if you would be so kind, if you're not speaking, to mute your phone. That ensures the best quality playback. Quite a few of our regular listeners do not sit late at night. So they call in after the show, you know, the next day or the next couple of days or so. And so we just want to make sure that they have as good a quality as you do on listening to the original broadcast. And if you ever want to listen to any of our previous shows, you can do so by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRodgers. And it'll bring you right to the show, and you can then pick and choose whichever one you'd like to take a listen to. Thank you guys for being with us. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick music break, and then when we come back, I will bring on the star for tonight, Miss Dee Olivia Jones. We'll be right back.
Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things ain't what they used to do. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our lives. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from man? Can't you stand? My
like, mercy, mercy me. Y'all know who it is. I appreciate you for turning in to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And once again, I'm going to make the announcement on those of you that are not called in. Our number here is 516-531-9819. If you have any questions or want to make a comment or you'd like to speak live on the show, all you have to do is press 1 on your dial to let us know you would like to speak live with us. All right, all right. So now we get to the show. So are our cultural beliefs truly ours? Featuring D'Olivia Jones. She's my sister friend, my queen, my teacher, my everything, and I just love her. She began this discussion asking me about how cultural practices are passed on from generation to generation. She wondered if most people live from their own authentic beliefs or perhaps just living conditioned false truths that are sprinkled into their minds by others like a magical dust. D'Olivia asked some pertinent questions. Is it time for us to inspect, dissect, and determine which cultural and societal practices benefit humankind, which ones need to be lost or revamped and evaluated? Is it evident today that some practices no longer fit the spiritual evolution and freedom of rights of people, especially those black, indigenous, people of color? And so we ask that you have a heart open to receive what D'Olivia has to share with us tonight. I know the discussion is going to just be fabulous. Trust me, I know this sister here. So just to give you a little bit of background about her, she was born and raised in historic Selma, Alabama. She attended Alabama State University. She's commissioned as an Air Force Second Lieutenant. She earned her master's from Troy State University. She's an author, a poet, a dancer, storyteller, writer, and a world traveler, natural remedies, healer, culinary goddess, mental wellness, and harmonious relationship advocate. And I tell you, it just goes on and on. She's so, so, so beautifully blessed and shares her gifts very freely with the world. So without further ado, I would like to bring my girl, my sister friend, D'Olivia to the phone. D'Olivia, welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show.
Oh, Sandy, you make me feel as if I walk on water. I'm so grateful. Greetings. Greetings, my love.
Greetings,
I appreciate
love.
You. I appreciate you so much for that kind introduction.
You know, you're worth every word of it. You're so beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate
inside
that. And I'm excited. I'm very excited, too, for you extending this invitation first, because I had no idea that one question that I posed to you that day would actually lead to this. I really didn't. Spirit just put it in my heart to ask you because I was pondering that thought one day. So you are helping a vision of mine to come to fruition, and I'm just very grateful. Look forward to tonight. I look forward to seeing where Spirit guides me and getting some feedback, just getting other comments and people to participate in this.
Excellent. Let's make it do what it do.
So what I would like to do is just give a brief background, a little backstory about myself and so that you can understand how it is I even came to a question like this. For as long as I can remember, I've always had this serious side of me. Even when I was a little girl, I used to gaze into my eyes at the tender age of about 6 or 7 and wonder who I was. I felt that there was a little bit more to me than that little person I saw in the mirror. So I enjoyed pondering and thinking and going into deeper places that I felt a lot of people would probably be surprised to know that I went, I would go into. And so, you know, fast forward, I grow up a little bit, I get ready to go off to college, and at some point, maybe 10 years after I got into college, I realized I started living, I was living a lie. I experienced things in life that I had to hide. There were things that went on within us, the family dynamic of our home, that I was not allowed to talk about, so I couldn't really speak my truth. One of the most craziest things ever was how I chose my major. I lived a lie in even choosing the major that I studied in college. I chose business administration and computer information systems based on what my sister chose. I didn't even know enough about myself to have a truth to even choose my own major. And, you know, I went off. I pledged into a sorority that embraced me in high school, and I used that as a reason to join this organization. After I got commissioned in the military, I felt like a fake because I was in a career field that did not fit me. I almost literally flunked out of tech school. It was such a mixed match for me. And then I get married to a man that I really didn't know much about. I knew the timing was off. And it seems that this failing marriage was the one thing that nudged me into saying, you ain't living your truth, girl. You lying. You're lying. You're going through the motions, and you're doing what everybody is saying you should do. So what's up with that? And, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot of emotional stress, a lot of mental anguish, and I actually began my first approach to counseling at that time. And I was actually living over in England. That was about 31 years ago. And the very first book that I got in the metaphysical self-help realm, my counselor at that time gave it to me. And it was a book by Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And that book has circled the whole planet who knows how many times. It's a very popular book, but that was the one that started to make me ask questions. I wanted to just ask, who am I? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? And who is it that I'm choosing to honor by doing these things? And as I got more involved in my own personal life, started dealing with relationships after I divorced. My husband and I divorced, and I went into more international world travel. And as I did that, for some of the first times being around blacks and African people throughout the diaspora, I started to see this huge differences in how people behaved, how they moved, the energy in their conversations, the energy in their voices, the things that we would consider to be less than or economically disadvantaged. It didn't seem like they knew anything about it. So it really perplexed my mind and my whole thought process even more about culture and how is it that they have so little and they seem to be so much more satisfied, generally speaking, not everyone, but yet, you know, we're over here living the big American dream, and most of us are running around in misery. So the more I experienced the international dynamics with a lot of the men that I dated, the more I just started asking deeper questions. And after our mother transitioned in 2017, I found myself really thinking more about her. And I thought about some of the generational things that happened you know, back then it was very common, and even still today, it was very common for the grandmother to raise the first grandchild. And that's what happened with her. She was her grandmother's first grandchild. And I can remember over the years how whenever she would talk about being left, as she would say, by her mother, I can remember the sadness that I would feel coming from her. And I thought, like, wow, that seems like something that really hurt her. And it actually drove her into creating a new generational paradigm where she refused to have her children separated. She was not going to let anyone, no one else raise them. She was going to keep us all together regardless of whatever happened, and that's what she did. So I, it helped me to see that, wow, okay, even though that might have been a common practice, and even though she was very much involved in her her great grandson and granddaughter's life when they were young, she still created this new paradigm that she was not going to give up her children. So the whole concept of what generations do, there are a lot of good, valid things that I believe needs to be assessed. And that's one of the things I love about the Sankofa bird that comes from Ghana. There's a symbol, a symbolic bird that represents to return, go back, look, and seek. And the word most of us have probably heard is Sankofa. The S-A-N represents return. The Ko, K-O, means to go. And the F-A is to look, seek, and take. And so that literal translation turned into, it's not taboo to fetch what is at risk of being left behind. And there are many valuable things that I have come to know that I've gotten from my immediate ancestors, you know, my parents, my grandparents, even my great-grandparents. There were so many positive things that were passed on to us. And likewise, there were things that may not have necessarily been to our advantage to continue to perpetuate. And we could either do one thing, we can look back and say, okay, this worked well, we'll keep it just as it is, there's nothing that needs to be fixed, or we can look back and say, okay, that worked, it was about a C-. We need to bump it up to at least a B+, an A. So let's take a look at what we can do, what kind of practices we need to modify. And then yet there are other things that we need to just do away with altogether. Like getting beat with an extension cord was one of those things that I was glad to see that has become less and less prominent in raising children. So the more that I started doing that and looking at, okay, there were certain things about the people that I interact with on more of an international level, the intimate and personal relationships I've had, I got a chance to just put that analytical brain of mine to work and ask the question, wow, what parts of what our ancestors gave us in these times where we are now, what are the things that would be beneficial for us to really assess? Take a look at it and figure out, as you said in your introduction for the affirmation for the day, where are those places where we may have lost our way? Mm-hmm. Are there things that the ancestors did? I can remember being in the presence when I went to Africa for the first time. And I was walking down the street. Well, actually, that was the second time. I was in Ghana. I was walking down the street, and an elder mama saw me walking with the sister who was escorting me. And the sister explained to her that I was from the States, and I had come back home. So the elder Mama, she was so excited. Oh, she beckoned. She had her arms spread wide open, and then she began. When I got to her, she gave me a huge kiss. She hugged me, and she began saying something to me in a tone that I have never heard spoken to me by an elder. It was the sweetest, calmest, the smoothest tone of love. And I know my mother loved me. I know that both of my grandmothers loved me. I know that there was a lot of love there, yet still the practice of how it was expressed, I had never experienced anything as I had done with the mama in Ghana, just by the sheer essence of the energy of her voice. And that was one of those things that I have witnessed in a lot of other African elders. There is a certain energy in the way in which they speak to you, especially the women. It's usually a soft, loving tone. And I don't know if she's listening, but one of the people that every time I hear her voice, Mama Nabantu, her voice is just like that to me. There's just this really loving, calming, soothing tone to it. So that experience once again caused me to like, wow, I've never had that. I don't remember feeling like that just simply from the energy of the voice. I couldn't really tell what she was saying. Her accent was quite thick. Yet still, this is just how it felt. So, so that got me into thinking, how is it that more of us here can begin the process of asking that question? Just asking questions. The season that we're in all together, there seems to be an increase in us asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Simply
agree.
Asking questions.
Yeah.
and
checking it.
Just
yeah.
Simple. And one of the things that comes to mind is why I value asking questions so much is light and truth is starting to come from the depths of darkness, and not to say that darkness is negative, but in this case it was being an attempt to hide the truth, so it was put away so that hopefully the light of truth would not come forth. Yet still, now people are asking questions and information is so readily available that even now when I see how ridiculous it is that we ever believed in this story of this gentleman that is said in 1492 to do an act that didn't make any sense whatsoever to us, yet we did not ask that question. And for all the years that I went through school, I embraced it as a truth.
Hmm.
I embraced it as a truth. And a lot of us, a lot of what we embrace in our culture and our society, we simply open our arms up to embrace it as a truth without going deeper to do our own, even if it's physical research, even if you're just Googling or doing something else, but even on a grander level, running it through our own inner divine filter, our sieve of what is really truthful, what is the truth. So that has just intrigued me a lot about generations and about what it is within our families that we can do to help restore the excellence to humanity that you mentioned also in your affirmation. That is the biggest goal that I have in life. And I wonder, are there other people who also look at themselves and see where it is that they are living genuinely, where they are living authentically, where those places where maybe we're not being as honest? there's a person that I spoke to as I began doing research for this for tonight, and I was so pleased to hear her share how she went about educating her children at a time that it was not very popular. She went to the truth. She went inside of herself. She and her husband decided to listen to something that they felt was a bigger truth than what the traditional process was. And so for the people who are listening, I would love to ask anyone to respond, to reflect on any personal experiences or opinions that you may have that you could ask to see if it's really yours. Am I doing something because this is truly and authentically what I believe in? Or am I doing something that is simply an expectation? This is what mom told me to do. This is what has been done in the family for the past five generations. Or are these things that, is there something inside of you that God is whispering for you to do?
I love your opening, Dee Olivia. And, you know, I wanted to make a couple of comments as people are gathering their thoughts and preparing to hit the one on the dial. I was not aware that there was a tradition that the oldest child was kept by the grandmother. My oldest brother was kept by our grandmother, and my mother and the rest of us lived in California. My grandmother was in Louisiana. And, you know, he still carries that same hurt that you're talking about that your mom experienced. And I doubt very seriously if he understood that it was because of a tradition in the family that, you know, he was separated. He always thought it was something that he did, you know, that he was a bad child and that he was being punished and separated from his brothers and sisters, you know. And I appreciate you sharing that because I'm going to call him first thing tomorrow, you know, and be like, God, yes. Guess what, you know. And he's almost 80 years old, but he yes. still has that little nag in him about, you know, mom leaving him and you know, making him stay there as a punishment versus anything else. So I truly appreciate that. And you talked about the savage beatings, and I remember, man, just getting hit with any and everything, an extension cord, a hanger, whatever my mom picked up, you know, the first thing that she grabbed was what her instrument was going to be. And I know at the time we accepted it because, you know, and they'll bring that Bible scripture on you, spare the rod, spoil the child, and all of that, you
right.
know, to justify
yeah.
that. But to me, it was, as I got older, because I'm not going to say I understood this as a small child, but as I got older, I understood it to be so similar to what people experience on the plantations. You know, it was just a
exactly.
carryover from that time, yeah. And I vowed that I would never beat my child. Just, you know, I couldn't do it. I think he may have got spanked one time, and that was it. You know, but there's a different way. And so what I was forced to do was to learn a different way of correcting inappropriate behavior. And I did, you know, and it was truly
yes.
not by, you know, a belt buckle and extension cord or any of that, you know, or tell you to go pick three switches and they braid them and beat your butt with it, you know, just anyway.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee, that was some.
Yeah, yep, those memories,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, girl. I'm starting to feel the pain, you know?
Yes. And the thing about it, when those kinds of behaviors are so culturally accepted, because I can be around people now who still embrace that. And
yeah.
And it's the worst feeling ever, because I can remember feeling as if a piece of my spirit or soul, every time it happened, it felt like something was diminished in me.
Mm-hmm.
Like my sense of worth or purpose or value, something just a little piece would leave out of me.
Yeah.
And so when I see that now, it just reminds me of, oh, okay, not, you know, I don't get so caught up into the heaviness of it. I see it more so as, this is a beautiful place where we can reassess things and ask, is there another way? Are there
mm-hmm.
other ways, as you said, that you can correct inappropriate behavior without having to take a layer of skin off the body, you know?
Right.
So that's a beautiful example of this whole process that I started when I asked you that question. Like, I wonder, is it time for us to set
mm-hmm.
an intention as an individual, and then to encourage our family, you know, go into the family dynamic, your immediate family, your extended family, and then out even a little bit further into the community to ask, how can we set our intentions and what can we do to really look at the Sankofa concept? To go back and
right.
look at, okay, this is what happened. Our family, we're very loving. We're supportive of one another. We do this. This is good. This works. This is fine. Oh, okay, we can tweak this a little bit. And then to be honest and real enough to say, well, what part do we need to just totally eliminate? Because at the end of the day, everything that I do, everything that my eyes, my physical senses see, as well as I feel my inner intuition, God voice, whatever you want to call it, it's just about really celebrating and elevating the spirit of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
To, as you said, to restore the excellence. And the only way that I see this happening is literally one person at a time, each person,
right.
us each making those choices that, okay, all right, so even though I grew up as a Southern Baptist and I have my beliefs and I believe that this is the way and this is what my, you know, right, whatever, if that's what the word you choose to use, I still believe that I can open my arms and have a spirit of inclusivity to include a person who may practice Buddhism or who's a Muslim or whatever. I can still figure out how both can coexist. It doesn't have to be or. We can embrace more of an and concept, and that's a part of the process. That's a part of really assessing, having
right.
the courage, because it takes courage now. It takes
courage. Exactly. Yeah.
It takes courage to get to that place, because some of this stuff is not going to smell so nicely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little stanky wanky, just a little, and it's hard at times. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
No, and we've got two callers. You guys hold on real tight. I'm coming.
Okay.
I'm coming. But you know, when you were talking about why do we continue doing some of the things that we've always done, I just wanted to ask you real quickly. How do you see the expectations that we have of continuing the family traditions going against that, and we perceive that as perhaps betraying our family, or, you know, betraying the traditions, you know, like this is something we've always done, regardless if anybody understands the reason why or not. We've just always done it, and we're going to continue to do it this way because mom and them, you know, grandmama and them always did it. So I think that betrayal may play a small part in there as well. So I'm going to bring on our first caller. It's area code 334-419. You want to give us your name and your comment, please?
Yes, good evening, Michael. My name is Michael. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and I thank you for this program. And I hope you all, you know, you all are well. What is the guest name again, please?
D. Olivia.
D. Olivia, I'm so happy to have listened to your presentation, because there are questions that are asked that I had as well. And then I went through the Nation of Islam experience, and I stayed with it until the new leader, the son of Elijah Muhammad, Wahdi Muhammad, came into the leadership, holding on to those do-for-self principles, but getting into the religion of al-Islam. But my point is this. When you go back to the history, and this is some of the information I got being mentored by the son of Elijah Muhammad. Go back into the history, and you see that those that were captured and brought over here to America to become slaves, there was a process. It was clinical, the process that operated with savagery and terrorism, terroristic threats, brutality, that emptied out much of what Africa had given those ancestors. But there was still some genetic material, you know, in terms of storytelling and other kinds of the way we treat neighbors or community people. You know, there's still, you can still see vestiges of Africa in those that have held on to those standards and values. But a new people was produced called nigger, called black, called Negro, a new people who were trained to not look at their own self-interest, but that we were trained to accept the interests of those that held authority over us, you know, the white man, as he became called, you know. In fact, if you look at the history of that identification, you know, it changed around the times when America was being overpopulated with African slaves, and they needed to look at their numbers and their unity, and they came upon this idea of calling themselves white and not their historical, you know, places of origin, you know, England and so forth. So my point is that a lot of what we're dealing with today, a lot of it is ghosts from slavery days. Triage, things that were not dealt with in terms of trauma, things that were not dealt with in terms of the dissolution of family and trying to get back to family, things in terms of relationship between man and woman that I'm hearing on the internet now, groups of individuals like yourself that are working on these issues, you know, in their own particular style. But I'm also seeing an environment on the internet of unmanly behavior, you know, men gossiping for money, you know, to make money off of the podcast, you know, gossiping and tearing one another down. But there is a small group, and I think they're a powerful group of men and women that are trying to get us to look at the critical issues of relationships between men and women, to look at the critical issues of our children, a healthy future for our children. And lastly, something that was particularly given to me by my mentor, W.D. Muhammad, was he said in a public address, the Nation of Islam was more than bean pies and newspapers. The Nation of Islam was a language environment. And he had already introduced the idea of man means mind, words make people. But that was a game changer for me to see how the culture puts out words, expressions, not just in words, but in terms of pictures, that present to us an environment that is very unhealthy to be a human being in America right now. But I see resistance in yourself and others that we are resisting that, and we're trying to bring the family together. And the Sankofa is an excellent example, because we need to look back. We need to identify those things that were the best of our past. Like, I found that there was a convention movement starting in the 1800s where African-American notables like Frederick Douglass and others came together with publishers of newspapers and so forth, preachers, to deal with the critical issues of the time. And, you know, you've got, what's his name, Carter G. Woodson, and what he did in terms of curating our history and reminding us of our miseducation. And I appreciate the time that you've given me. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. D. Olivia?
Wow. Wow. I deeply appreciate your comment, and it means so much to me when somebody gets it. It means a lot to me, because there's a lot of people that I have been around and encamped around at times who don't understand what Brother Michael was able to pick up in those few short moments. But it is like my soul's passion to unravel some of the lies and some of the untruths that we have embraced so tightly over the course of everything that our we have been through, our ancestors have been through. I really appreciate how you made it a very clear point of how, when I made the comparison of the mama in Ghana, and how that thing felt to me, and how I rarely see that kind of, I mean, even as an adult, it was just recently I was around a sister friend of mine who has that same energy with children. And, you know, I'm just amazed at how that energy feels, and to hear you say that there was actually a process where that was emptied out from us, it just resonated. And I thank you so much for recognizing the works that I'm doing, and even helping me to understand even better of how it is we got here, you know, how we got, how
well,
we got here.
I really value you, and I see Sandy and you and others as a part of a conscious language and environment being produced to counter what we're involved in America. And lastly,
yes,
in the Holy Bible, in 2 Timothy, it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. And I don't believe we can do that without the help of the Creator. And similarly, in the sacred Quran, you have similar language where God says, take the best thereof. You know, all of it is from God, but he wants us to be selective. And in that process, dignifying our own intelligence, but also being aware that we need the spirit of the Creator to help us deal with this process that we're in. And it's never the many, it's always the few. I think this is what, what's her name? There's an anthropologist, Margaret Mead. She said that often, that progress is never done by the many, it's always the few. And so, I want to be one of those saints like you all in that number.
count yourself in.
Yes. Yeah, that's lovely. I appreciate your comments. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Let's move on
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Our next caller is area code 757-377. You want to give us your name and your comment, please?
Yeah, hi, Sandy and Julia. My name is Bonfil.
Greetings, okay, Bonfil.
Yeah, hi, dear Olivia. Yeah, it is really, really a pleasure to be on this call this evening. I was looking forward to it for a few days, and I am not disappointed. I know, dear Olivia, we met not long ago, but there's a bond there, and I really do see that spiritual side of her. Not like I'm, you know, when I grew up in a very small town, just like Jill Olivia, Selma, Alabama, but I grew up in the country. And my community was very religious, very close and tight-knit, you know. So a lot of the things that when I did leave Selma and when I was 19 to join the military, I had no idea of how the world really worked, because I thought that everything was just as it was for my little hometown. We only had church on the first and the third Sunday, so when I got to South Carolina, we found us a church, and I thought they only was supposed to have church on the first and third Sunday. So, yep, those are those, I guess, not necessarily values, but more traditions that we held in my small community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my family dynamic was a bit different. I never heard about the grandmother getting the oldest kid. But I never even knew my grandmother, because my mother's mother was killed when she was 9 years old in Mississippi by a group of white men. So she was raised by a very, very mean lady who would beat her really badly. She told me one time that she was just a few minutes from getting down to the creek to get water, to gather water, and the lady that I called Grandma would come up behind her with a tin bucket and would hit her upside the head with it. She said it hurt so bad one time, but she couldn't say anything. She had to just continue on her chores. She told me that it got so bad that one day she had to go and gather water from a well. And she said that she had thought about jumping into the well, you know, because, you know, it just wasn't. And she was a very young girl, very 9, 10 years old. But she said, you know, my mother always said to this day, she's 86, she says, you know, she was very cool, but I thank God that she got me up to be a grown lady. You know, and so and then our beating started. You know, my mother was, you know, she was rather rod for the child type of person, and she would really, really lay it to us. And I would often tell her, Mom, you know, this is that slave mentality. You guys got to get away from this. You know, and yeah, of course she would tell us to shut up and continue to do what she was doing. But, yeah. You know, we're speaking of truth. What is our truth, really? Do we really know? Do we really know our truth? I mean, because I struggle with this all the time. You know, like, how did I get to the place that I am? I know I prayed often, prayed a lot. I tried to be very nice to people, treat people right, as my mama said. Always treat people nicely and things will, you know, treat people nice, pray, and things will work out for you. So that has been my mantra for the entirety of my life, I should say. And I always said that happiness, for me, happiness is subjective, because what makes me happy may not make another person happy. And going back to Africa, I know I did my ancestry, and I found out that, well, my mom, she was majority Nigerian. So I did mine, and I found out that I am also 47% Nigerian. So when my girlfriend went to Nigeria, and I said, you know, we got to go back. I want to go. Next time you go, I want to go with you. And so I have two friends that are from Nigeria. They were stationed with me in the military, and I reached out to Ogunyemi, and he told me, he says, before you go, Bonfield, he says, make sure you're not alone and make sure you go with someone who knows the lay of the land. So it's like, okay, well, I guess me and a couple of my girlfriends just going may not work. We may have to have a tour guide. So we are on that journey right now, because I really do want to go, and I would love to be able to find some of my native ancestors. I would really love that. You know, but one guy posed a question to us. He said, would you move back to Africa? Because I think it was one of those African countries, they were suggesting that we could come back. Was it Ghana?
Ghana.
I think I've heard that,
yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah, right. They had, it was in an article. It says that anyone could come back if we want to come back home. But I'm saying, you know what, I'm not from Ghana. I want to go to Nigeria. And I'm also from the Congo and Cameroon. So those are the, I mean, I would love to go. I love Africa anyway. When I was stationed in Europe, I would often speak to the Africans, and they would always have these exciting stories, you know, about how, you know, on TV, they would only show what they wanted to show. They wouldn't show the beauty of Africa. You know, how the rivers flow through the Zambezi, and, you know, how just really beautiful Africa was or is. And I really, really do want to take those journeys. I really do. And I hope that I'm really not, I wish I had known what the subject was going to be about today so I could really prepare myself. But I really did just want to say something to let Jill let you know that I was here. I support her. And I truly
appreciate you. I really appreciate you, Vonseel, and I feel that support that you mentioned. I do want to just make a couple of comments. It's very interesting when I hear you talk about being raised outside of Selma, because even though we lived in Selma, my grandparents and great-grandparents and so forth lived about 30 miles outside of Selma. So I'm very familiar with that type of sub-Selma terrain and the whole culture of what that's like. And it does make a difference when you get exposed to something else. When you see something else, and that's one of the reasons why the whole concept of fake versus truth and realness is it has to be fueled by us taking the responsibility of asking questions. I'm so grateful that you're starting this journey. You're asking. You're wanting to know about your lineage. And believe it or not, I have not done that yet. I haven't done it yet. Still, when I was there on the continent and saw the truth of who our people are, the calmness, there's an essence in 95% of the people that I dealt with. I would say 95% of the people that I would see, there was this essence in them that it kind of made me think of someone mentioned recently that they had gone to one of the Caribbean islands. And when we go in places, even when I was in Africa, people would, you know, I'm in my typical kind of frenzy state, like, oh, I got to hurry up. Oh, my God, what time is it? I have to get here, and, oh, I got to hurry, and oh, come, it's okay, my sister. It's okay. And in that moment, yeah. In that moment when they did that, I was thinking, this is a part of the culture that, as Brother Michael talked about, that we had been emptied out of us. The calmness
yes.
and the assurance of who we are and how we behave, that was every time I go to places in you know, either in the Caribbean or over on the continent, whenever I see that, I just like I could take a deep exhale and say, yes. Whew, I don't have to run around with my hair on fire and trying to figure out, you know, what I need to get and do as we do over here. It's a big difference. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, Vancil, when you ask about what is our truth, for me, it has taken decades for me to just start to get a glimpse of that, because it took so long for me to understand that most of what I thought was my beliefs and my truth were not. I thought I was supposed to get commissioned, go into the Air Force, and find a husband. I thought I was supposed to, you know, start having babies. And once I left the military, I thought I was supposed to put on some pump and pantyhose and get my slick perm and my Anita Baker haircut and go in corporate America and rock it. And none of that fit. Everything I tried to do, the essence of my beingness was disturbed. I was
yes.
just like, and you, it's like you know it, but we're so used to covering it up. Well, let me get another paycheck and let me go to the mall. I was the shopping queen. You know, shopping was my panacea. It satisfied yeah. that emptiness that I felt. And most of us
yeah.
have some form of what someone may call an addictive behavior to help pacify and soothe that inner disruption. It's like a volcano. You know, it's just rumbling and it's rumbling. And I don't care what you do. I don't care how many pretty dresses you get and how much money you got and what you buy and where you go. It's still a rumbling. It may calm down, but it's there. And one of the things that helped me when I do it consistently enough, God bless me, help me on this one, is when I meditate. When I take the time every day, and this is something that I didn't know anything about meditation when I was growing up in Selma or most of my adult life. I was always told you just pray and ask. Pray and ask for stuff. Just ask.
Right.
But I was never told to sit still and listen, learn how to know when the voice or energy or spirit of God is trying to tell me something. Because we'll know. You know, sometimes you're driving down the street and all of a sudden you're like, oh, take a left. Why am I going down here? Why? Or you drop your phone or you do something and all of a sudden you get on the road and right in front of you, three or four cars in front of you, there is an accident. There's always this thing that we can't explain. It's an energy and a force that most of us don't understand. I know I don't understand it, but some kind of way that it's a knowingness that gets in us that we can only hear when we're still.
Yeah.
From my experience.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, we got two more callers.
Oh, okay.
We're down
okay.
to about 20
well, thank
minutes
you so much
left.
Again. Yes.
And I was going to say one quick thing. I was talking, I guess we can talk about this another time, Olivia, but I was talking to some people from Africa, and we were
yeah.
talking about how much was stolen from us once we laid foot on this land. And, you know, of course, our conversation led to voodoo, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we'll discuss that later because I know you guys probably have to go here. But that was
yes.
very interesting.
Yes.
So we appreciate
yeah,
your
yeah.
comments, and, you know, I'm glad this is waking up something in all of us, you know, stirring it up, because that's
mm-hmm.
what we want to do. We actually have three callers now, so I'm going to move right along, but thank you so much,
okay.
Bonsia, for
yeah,
calling
thanks,
in.
Thanks, Bonsia. Much love.
Okay,
please.
Our
we'll
next is 770-383. You want to give us your name and your comment, please?
Yes. Hey, everyone. Hey, Sandy. It's Mimi.
Hi, Mimi.
This was very interesting for me.
Thank you. I'm sorry if your name just kind of went away for me for your testimony.
Me, Olivia.
It was beautiful. Olivia, yes.
Yes.
The stuff that I wrote down was like, who am I? And I'm still learning. I don't know. You know, I don't know my truth. You know, and a part of me feels like, is it really that important whether I am supposed to be, I keep saying, because my name is Maritza de Jesus. My parents said that they were from Puerto Rico, but I've always felt different. So in my mind, it's like, does it really matter if I'm in a certain group? Does it have to be a name to a group? Why can't I just be a child of God, a woman that wants to just be, show love and be love, humanity. You know, I don't really, for me, this for me, because I've been confused as a child. So it's like whether I'm African-American or if I am Latin or if I'm Jewish or if I'm Catholic or I'm Buddhist, it doesn't matter to me. To me, it's like it doesn't, how can I say it? It doesn't really tells me who I am still. To me, more is my self-worth and how I treat others. It's kind of like tells me more who I am. Every day I learn, be a little more kinder. Treat people kind because you want them to treat you kind. That's kind of like where I'm at in my life today. When I think about religion, it just doesn't, kind of like it really doesn't matter to me at this point. It really doesn't. And, you know, what is my truth? And all I can just say, be true to myself and just be a child of God. You know, so I just wanted to share that.
Give thanks. What's your name again, sis?
It's Maritza.
Maritza? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to quickly make a couple of comments. Just from my perspective, the beauty of what I see in your comments is that you are asking questions. And to me, one of my favorite scriptures is, even before you ask, it's given. And what does that mean? What that means is anything that you ever want to know, there's already an answer to it, even before you ask. But most of us are so used to opening up and swallowing what other people give us that we don't take the time to simply ask, is this truly my truth that I have to own a house? I don't care about owning a house. No, I don't care. And I personally have struggled with things that I thought the external world deemed as appropriate. So I just want to congratulate you on accepting the challenge to even ask the questions, who am I? I did that in my freshman year of college. I wrote a paper entitled, Who Am I? And I've been on this journey ever since then. So I just want to say thank you. Please continue on and bring more along with you. Bring more along with you to ask and enjoy this journey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mimi. So our next caller coming up here is area code 630 and 430. You want to give us your name and your comment, please?
Hi, and I'm going to make this quick. This is Deidre D.A., and Dee Olivia and I went to high school together. I grew up in Selma.
Wow. Cool.
Thank you, Dee, for you inviting me on tonight.
Thank you.
So I'm going to just try to be quick, and I'm going to touch on, there's a lot of stuff I would like to touch on, but I'm going to touch on the one about whipping kids with the switches or whatever, because I was a part of that as well. But, you know, unlike your household, my household was my mom and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father was nowhere in the picture. I didn't actually speak to him for the first time till I went out, till when I was like 13 years old. And, you know, so, you know, my mom had to do what she had to do. So with the switch and everything, it was more so of a threat. I mean, she did use it, but it really was coming from love because that's all she had. You know, and she just wanted us to just, she wasn't trying to force us to do the wrong thing. It was always to do the right thing. And that's all she had. I mean, she was struggling. She was working mm-hmm. in a factory and living with her mom, you know. So she just wanted us to do well. And so we didn't get whooped a lot because we tried to stay within her thing of being, you know, walking the right road or whatever. But then I took that into my household as an adult. And that's where, you know, it was wrong because my kids helped me to realize that, you know, when I was trying to whoop them and stuff, you know, it's other ways that you can do stuff. And growing up, you know, we never really had, I didn't hear about really counseling or nothing like that. I didn't know anyone personally,
mm-hmm.
black person, who ever went to counseling. Never. And, I mean, I'm talking about people who have went through a lot of stuff, a lot. Nobody went to counseling. You know, it wasn't until I was grown, till I actually met people who, you know, their kids were in counseling. I'm like, what you talking about, counseling? You know, and so that was new to me. But, you know, I had to be open, and I had to be willing to learn. So, you know, with me being open, with my kids expressing their opinion, about you know, it's just more ways than one to handle a situation. It's just not one. It's not.
Right.
You always
right.
got to be open. You have always got to be open and new. You know, and I went to counseling myself. You know, and it helped me so much. You know, and I had my kids. You know, since then I've had them go, and I constantly encourage them to seek counseling because I can't help you. I mean, you know, I mean, I can do what I can do, but just be open. Be open and try to get help wherever you can, you know, and I just think that that's such a good thing. I know we've talked about counseling before, and you know, it was just one thing that really, really, really helped me. It's free. I mean, it's through my job. We can go for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can either I don't see how it can be worse than you being in your own head. You know, at least be open to hear another perspective. You
right.
know, you don't have to take it. You can just listen to it. You ain't got to take it. Just be open. And I think that mentality of, you know, in the black society and growing up, is, you know, just like eating, we eat pigtails and chitlins and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was from slavery. I mean, that's, they only gave the black people what they didn't want. We have to survive, you know, but you don't have to do it today. You know what I mean? But you got to survive, and I think that's what it was back then. I mean, we would have been eating steak if we could have, but we couldn't.
Right.
So you just got to you got to take what's on your plate and make it work.
Right.
That's what you got to do. You just take what you got and make it work and be open to expand, you know, and go beyond. And that's what I constantly try to do. I'm constantly struggling with that. I'm constantly, you know, just trying to be open and you know, things like that with just being open and you know, because I have people in my that I just actually came from Georgia, my cousin. You know, he's gay, and that's fine. We helped raise him. But that's my cousin. I'm not going to talk to him because he's gay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at a certain time, and, you know, that probably would have been for me, it would have been like, I would have been different.
Right.
But no, I'm
right.
open. I mean, I love you. I mean, I know who you are. I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't be closed-minded to anybody. Because they just like me. They try to find their way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
I didn't want to take up too much time, but I did want to just mention that. And thank you so much for inviting me to this.
No.
Thank you, Deidre.
Thank you, Deidre. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I just want to make one real quick comment about the counseling thing. What I have come to know is in some cultures, the village is the counselor. when you have a support network around you that can help you to, what they call it, exform and get stuff, the energy of whatever that thing is that's bothering you. And some of us may call it a trauma or whatever. But the thing that happens to us is that we don't have an outlet of letting that energy release from our bodies, and it stays trapped in there. But in a lot of traditional, from what I have heard, some of the traditional practices in Africa, there were places for that to be healed through dancing and having people encamping or kind of encircled around the person to validate them and speak life and love back into them so that the healing can take place. But we're missing that. That's another thing in our culture that we can look and possibly bring back into, to let us become the healers of our own selves. And Baba Wekesa Mazimoya wrote an amazing article that talked about trauma porn and how we're using the concept of trauma to help keep us in this mental state of being broken, when in actuality it's just a lack of not having our stories told and heard and healed. So thank you for that, but I did want to talk about the counseling portion. I still partake in it whenever I feel I need to. It's very helpful for me. Helps me to just come to understand how I feel, and thank God I have an amazing person that I connect with on a high spiritual level as well. But thank you so much, Deidre, for calling and supporting us.
Thank you.
All right, and our last caller is area code 404-451. And your name and your comment, please.
Greetings, family. This is Queen Mother Nana Yah. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Nana
Yah. Don't live down. So happy to join this conversation. And I'm glad that you've come to the place where I think we all must, our people are, they call it trauma, and it, you know, we've been traumatized. And it's so critical that we get to the place that we stop the stigma of seeking help. My father's father, enslaved African, brought him in chains around 1848 as a little boy. And when I've come to realize through many, many years of emotional and mental illness, they're calling it now, and domestic violence and stuff, and we faking it till we making it, we need to stop doing that. I really know for certainty as a living example, we must get over being reluctant to get help, the healing. We most need healing. Our DNA remembers all of the enslavement experience, at least back seven generations. So we need to stop thinking that we're crazy and whatever it is. We need healing because it is energy. Everything in the universe we understand now through the quantum sciences, it's all energy. And just lying down on the couch sometimes talking about it, crying through that doesn't go deep enough. But let us please encourage each other to do the healing. We can't know who we really are and live our authentic selves as long as we have these layers and layers and layers like an onion of old people.
Mm-hmm.
Our DNA remembers more than just who the baby's daddy is. For God's sake, DNA remembers everything, everything. And so until we heal that, we will be too afraid of who we really are to acknowledge who we really are and to get where we can be calm as we're supposed to be and peaceful as we really are at the essence, as the original spiritual beings. We are peaceful. We are loving and harmonious and prosperous and all that. But because of what was forced upon us, and maybe we agree collectively to this experience because we're the one who can save the whole planet, maybe we agree to it. Whatever the case of that, let us heal. EMDR, I said, I've done everything but human sacrifice, which is the one thing I won't do, in order to heal my mental and emotional body. So that's my message to the family today. Let us get over this thing that something wrong with us and we need counseling and we grinning and skinning and there ain't nothing funny. Let us go and heal ourselves so we can walk in our truth and be okay without needing anybody's approval, you know, without trying to imitate the oppressors. And let us just be about the love that we really are as the original people.
Yeah.
We can't do that as long as we have this baggage, this luggage of old stuff that we don't want anybody to know about. It's okay. Get rid of the shame, the guilt, the fear, the whatever it is, blaming yourself, beating yourself up. My message is let us heal ourselves so we can walk as our authentic selves and reclaim the power of the real people, the original people that we really are. Thank you so much.
Oh, good thanks, Donna. Yeah, good thanks so much for calling and listening.
So beautiful.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
No words, dear Olivia.
I
know you got to just feel what she said, right?
That one, you know, that's my twin flame soul right there. There's just one thing that really stuck out to me because I'm often told, and I'm just so deep. You're so deep. You're always so dark. You're always dark and deep. And people don't understand how much beauty happens in darkness. That's where the seed of a life is starts there in darkness. That's where you plant a seed in the ground. It starts in darkness. Look up at the sky and you see the magnificence of all the stars and other planets in the midst of darkness. So people misconstrue oftentimes that darkness is a negative thing, and it's such. It's good to be joyful. It's good to laugh. It's good to have fun in life. And we also have to balance that with it's good to be balanced in knowing when to go deep into the darkness as opposed to pretending that there is not a seed that needs to be planted so that healing can take place. We're just going to stay on top of the soil and put our sunglasses on and bask in the sun, when in actuality we need to go and till that soil and dig about a 4-foot hole so that we can do some deep healing. So, Nanaya, I appreciate you for encouraging us to know how valuable and important that is.
Very wise. Very wise words. Whew, man, I told you guys to just stay tuned because it was going to be brought to you. And D. Olivia and all the guests, listeners that have added to this program, your love and your energy is just greatly appreciated. D. Olivia, I want to say I really honor you for opening up this channel of thinking for us. As some of the callers mentioned, you know, they weren't quite sure where and what is real and authentic for you, but they have joined in this energy of asking the questions and investigating what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I would encourage all of us to continue to do our healing work, to discover our truth, because it is within us, and that is where we need to go, we should go, would be best for us to go to get our individual truths versus perhaps some traditions or beliefs that are not ours, not truly ours, as the title of the show mentioned. So we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, D. Olivia, and I'd like to turn it back over to you to make your comments, but just a thousand and thousands and thousands of thank yous for bringing this conversation forward.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Sandy, for the opportunity. And I'm almost speechless. I'm almost speechless, yet still I do want to just close out with a couple of things that I would, a call of actions, if you will, that I would like to throw out, and hopefully it'll take root in whomever mind and heart that it feels right for. And that the first thing that I would invite us to do is to set our intentions on knowing the truth, on seeking the truth, on living our truth, to really set our intentions. Intentions are very powerful. And once you do that and simply begin asking questions, where do I need to go? Who do I need to go to Nigeria with? What else do I need to do in order to heal some of the things within my family? Simply asking questions and making time and space to hear what comes to and through you. The other thing that I would like to invite us to do is, in order to know our own truth, it's very important to become aware of ourselves, to know when we're shooting shenanigans at ourselves, when we try to tell ourselves something that we know is not the truth, to become aware of when our language is oozing with divisiveness, with gossip, with anger, to just become mindful of when we're not in the energy and the vibration of love, when we want to separate, when we want to keep people apart. Inclusivity is a favorite word of mine. So anyway, I'll finish off with those intentions. Continue to ask our questions, to be highly, to be inclusive, to ask questions, and to seek and be aware of ourselves and what we do and how we're feeling, and to take actions to address those. Anything that is not of a love vibration needs to pretty much be addressed and healed.
And contact information for you, please.
Yes. I am a simple everyday woman who is doing her individual acts to make a difference in the world. I have an email address. Feel free to reach out to me at Dojo, D-O-J-O, Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, at yahoo.com. And just stay tuned. I'm looking to do works in this world that will continue to draw the attention of everyday people.
Absolutely outstanding. You gave us all a lot to think about and to examine, right, in our own lives, moment to moment, not just year to year or month to month, but moment to moment. And I love your word, inclusivity. I just, if we can wrap our thoughts around that, I think it would make a huge difference in how we relate in this world day to day. So thank you again, and hopefully we can get you back on and you can stir up some more energy in us and encourage us to continue this healing thing, right? So thank you. And I am Sandy Rogers. thank you for listening, and thank you for all the wonderful souls that participated. And remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So until next week, stay safe and stay well. And I love you guys. Talk to you then. Good night.
Good night.